It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being married to someone who is not a provider, but still has a side piece. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Good evening. Hope all is well. Glad to be here.
All is well. Good to have you. No Pip this week. Pip has been incarcerated, and she has not posted bail. She was trying to fix a fourth grade president of the class election, so she's not been able to post bail of three boxes of Girl Scout cookies. So Pip is rotting as we speak.
Serves her right.
It does serve her right. Pip is nothing but a criminal. I've always said that. On the show, if your significant other paid all the bills, would you let them mess around? We'll get right to that. Decoding the Bible. School of Fools, a Maryland school, says parents can't opt out of their kids' inclusive books in class. And COVID, it's back. Better than before. Well, not really, but it is back. But first, I was reading this in the sports section. UFC champion Sean O'Malley says he can do whatever, whenever, with whomever he pleases. He said, I'm a king. I pay for everything. I treat Dania like a queen. That's his wife. If I get a little poontang on the side, I think I could say that. What does that have to do with anything? I have testosterone running through my veins. It's simple. He was recently crowned UFC bantamweight champion, and he's long been in an open relationship with his wife, who once claimed they have dope threesomes. Dope threesomes. I don't think that means they do drugs with one other person. O'Malley said his success in the octagon, which includes shocking knockout victory over Al-Amin Sterling to claim the UFC bantamweight championship on Saturday, has a lot to do with what he pleases to do outside of it. If I wasn't paying for everything, if I wasn't, you know, successful in any sort of way, and I was just like maybe an average Joe, hey, you, I probably wouldn't. It probably wouldn't be fair. But I'm effing King Kong, baby, O'Malley said. Instead, O'Malley referenced Andrew Tate for his thought process regarding polygamy. Andrew Tate explains it, well, it's status. You know, I got status, so I can, O'Malley said, potentially referencing this clip of Tate saying that women give men status. Tate gained notoriety in recent years for his highly luxurious lifestyle while boasting an ultra-masculine persona. He is currently facing human trafficking charges in Romania, which he has denied. Because I say there's nothing more masculine than human trafficking. That's what I say. O'Malley also said with an eye roll that his wife is never fine with it and that she goes through phases when it comes to accepting their relationship choices. Stop your complaining, woman! I'm the bantam champion. The couple has a daughter together, Alina, who was born in 2020. I'm sure she's gonna love seeing this all over the internet when she goes to school in a few short years. I'm a crazy mother effer, O'Malley said. I put myself on a leash. I have to live a very disciplined lifestyle. I could for sure go out and do some bumps, go off the rails easily if I didn't have discipline. Oh, dude, I'd be crazy. I'd be like Conor McGregor for sure. I'd be hitting the booger sugar on my yacht and blow all my money. But I live a very disciplined life. And if I want to get a little kitty sometimes, what the F? It makes me a better man. And when I hear this guy talk, I say, this is a good man. Gonzalez, 29, is a hairstylist, so that's the deal. It is an interesting concept, where if I pay the bills, I can do what I want. Joe, you paid all the bills in your previous marriage?
Yeah, I did, and you want to know something? I mean, I didn't lead a crazy lifestyle, but I paid all the bills, but she helped with the bill, but my lifestyle was going out and playing with bands and doing stand-up. And when I got married, that was part of the agreement. I am allowed to go out and play with my bands and do stand-up. When in the good portions of my marriage, I never cheated. You know, the only time when things got rocky is when, when my marriage started to fall. And I realized that I fell into a deep depression. I realized my marriage was over. It took at least 6 years to get through that phase, and it wasn't fun.
But weren't you depriving yourself? You were a good man, working hard, paying the bills. Shouldn't you have been able to have some a side piece? Shouldn't that have been allowed?
No, no. And
that's why you can't be MMA bantamweight champion, mister. You don't have the right attitude.
No, you want to know something? And we've had our discussions about toxic masculinity and sometimes our disagreements on the perception of it. This is toxic masculinity. Now, this is somebody that is a UFC fighter. He's in that zone. Seems like he's in that zone all the time. He's making bank. And his, you know, his wife, who is they're in an open relationship, will have to, you know, has to be used to it. I don't know for how long, and when she decides to head out, he's going to be taken for a lot of money. So you want to know something? He's got plenty of rope to hang himself with.
So you don't think she should just accept it?
I don't think she will. There'll be, you know, let me tell you something. There'll be, there gets a certain time when you're done sweeping stuff under the rug because there's no more room under the rug. So well,
now what happens? What happens if you you marry somebody who's already – it seems like they were together – well, they were definitely together before he was champion. That's for sure. But what happens if you're with somebody who's already a star? Let's say you marry a big celebrity. Don't you kind of know that this is a possibility? Like a lot – it seems like a lot of the wives of these athletes kind of look the other way. They kind of know that their man's doing stuff on the side. Isn't it kind of the deal?
A lot of, yeah, it is, because a lot of women are attracted to that. You know, sometimes you listen to friends, you know, your friends talking, oh, I'm dating this guy, and he's this, and he's that, and it's always the same type of person. And it's what they like, and the, you know, the what they sell. You know, if you, you know, if you're signing on to this, hopefully you had a good prenup, because you got to deal with it. And if it's a problem, well, you signed up for it, and this guy is, everything all the time.
You know what I find most offensive about this guy? I really don't care I really don't care about his relationship and what they do. And I think monogamy's kind of outdated, whatever. But I don't like the fact that this type of braggadocia, he's kind of like, to me, this is almost more demeaning to his wife than getting the side kitty. The fact that he's going on podcasts and bragging about it, like
you read my mind, because I was about to say that. Yeah, he's being very braggadocious about it. If it's your lifestyle, you're free to live it. If your spouse is agreeing to it, that's fine. But when you go there and you're being very braggadocious about it, it seems very pompous. But you want to know something? It's a UFC fighter. You know, that's lifestyle is braggadocious. A lot of wrestlers, boxers, are very braggadocious. They have to be for them to go into a ring and get their brains beat out. You know, you have to have that attitude that nobody could beat you, nobody could top you, you're number one, and that is kind of what makes you succeed in the ring. And this is his attitude outside the ring. You know, more power to him if that's what it's got to be. Also, he's a character. You know, you're presenting a character, and characters sell. So you're also presenting your product, and his product is of this UFC fighter that's crazy, outlandish, has this alternate lifestyle, and he doesn't care, and he makes all the money because he wins. So it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like a branding thing as well.
I'm sure it's very appealing to certain types of other men. I agree. It might be salesmanship. I wonder what he's going to do, because they have an open relationship, but the interview doesn't really delve into that. But I wonder what happens if she's got some side action. Like, they talk about threesomes, but that means he's present. But they say it's an open relationship. Is she allowed to go on the side? And would that ruin the image? Would that ruin this character that he's created, this image, if, you know, she's filmed out someplace with some other dude?
If he is still living his lifestyle and he's happy and she's out with some other dude, you know what? That's what he signed up for as well.
I think it blows the whole image. I think, like let's say she's seen cozying up, sitting closely at a restaurant with some other MMA star. I think that's a problem for this guy. I think this guy loses his mind.
Oh, you know what, though? That's great fodder for a great match, which will bring in big money.
Yeah, of course.
Fill the coffers. know?
All right, so, of course. So let's say she's with some lead singer, some band, some scrawny dude. I don't think he's going to like it.
Yeah. Yep, we'll see. We'll see. But it's very fascinating. Great, great topic. Great topic.
All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we're going to decode the Bible for you. So get out your Torah and your Bible, kids. We'll be right back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
And we're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Tonight you are just hanging out with Joe and I. Pip is locked away in solitary confinement thinking about what she's done. She knows what she did. All right.
That's right.
So last week I mentioned I discovered a stinger for a bit that I didn't remember, which happens. We've done so many bits over the years. And it was decoding the Bible. And I said, oh, well, maybe we'll do it in the future. Well, the future is now, kids. We have taken – these are real Bible passages. And we know, you know, the Bible was written, you know, a few years ago. So it's got some of that old-timey text. You know, it's at least 15, 20 years old.
I love the way you said a few – like it was written in 93.
Sure. Sure. You know, it's got that old-timey word before the interwebs. So tonight Joe and I are here to read some passages for you. These are real passages and hopefully break it down for you. But here is the stinger, which has not been heard in 5 years.
The Bible, with the Old Testament, which contains the sacred books of the Jews, and the New Testament, which begins with the birth of Jesus. It is the holy book that has guided the faithful for centuries, and now we decode it. Welcome to Davin's Den, Decoding the Bible.
All right, I'll start us off on this, Joe. Here's the first one I found. Micah 5:12. Not Mika Frasinski, Joe Scarborough's wife. Micah 5:12. And I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no more tellers of fortunes. All right, what does that mean? It means, this is what God's saying. You know, you pray to me for money, and then you go to a fortune teller or astrologer. Cut the crap, and instead give that money to your church. This legal defense fund ain't going to pay for itself. See, stop. See, because, you know, and we see this. Like, how popular was Harry Potter? I mean, Universal has a whole Harry Potter world. Why doesn't Universal have a God world? There should be, you know, the wizarding world of God. He is the ultimate wizard, right?
Yes, the Holy Village.
The Holy Village. I mean, sure, they call that the Middle East, but that's not fun. You got to dodge rocks and bombs. This is better.
Right. You could go to Florida, do the same thing, save yourself some airfare.
Yeah, you only got to worry about natural disasters like hurricanes. And why do you have natural disasters? Because you went to an astrologer, you bum.
Right, right.
What do you got?
Exodus 20-1.
Oh.
And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. At the house of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on earth, beneath, or in the water, under earth. You shall not bow down to serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, what God is essentially saying is, he's the God Father. He calls you in, look, I've done you a favor. I had to sit down with the Egyptians. I got you out of the desert. As your God Father, I'm asking a favor for you. You stay loyal to the family, kabish. Because it would be a shame if I got jealous and by some accident you became a pillar of salt. Just saying.
You know, sometimes things happen, you know. You piss off the Lord, you wake up with the fishes and loaves.
I'm just saying. Be ashamed if some locusts showed up.
As they're wont to do. All right. This is from Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Basically, what this is saying, love your wife. Even though sometimes it's going to feel like metal stakes are being driven through your wrists and your head will feel like you're wearing a crown of thorns. You said you'll love her till death do you part, and this dame is going to be the death of you, just like being Christian was the death of Christ.
Amen.
Yes! Yes, you have to stick with it. You know, you can't run away and join another religion. You start as a Christian, you can't become a Muslim. You start with your wife, you have to stay with the wife. You can't leave the wife.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Galatians 5:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I agree with God. Now, what God is saying is you got to love and love yourself. You like to love to play loud music at 3 a.m.? You love when your dog craps on your lawn? You love lending things and not expecting them to be brought back? So when your neighbor complains, you tell them they are disrespecting the Lord.
You can't disrespect the Lord.
That's right. You have to obey.
This is from Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. What this means is, I'd rather eat this dry boot alone than listen to you hens squawking while I try to eat a steak. For the love of God, dummy up!
And that's for the love of God.
For the love of God. God would want you to stifle it, as Archie Bunker once said. Because when I look at Archie Bunker, he's godlike.
That's right. I listen to the preachings of Archie Bunker.
Yes, you do.
I don't know the reading on this. I didn't get it. But I will read it just the same. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. The one that strikes you on the cheek, offer them also comfort. And from the one that takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from no one, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back, as you wish that others would do to you. Do so to them. Now, God is saying that he has read the no bail law. And basically, God has also stated he is everywhere, except the subway in the city and 33rd and 34th Street and 7th in the city. And he's all-knowing, so that's why he sent his kid to the Middle East instead of Manhattan. And it shall be written.
What's going on in that? What's going on in that street you named?
Oh, God, the riffraff and that corridor right there? Holy smokes, they're drug addicts, crooks. The subway is like a rolling mugging.
Yeah, but we're all God's children, so these are God's children.
I understand, but when the children want to take my wallet, that's Joe's wallet. Sorry.
Well, no, but you should allow that because you're giving to God's children. You're being Christ-like.
Not when I'm being threatened with a pipe. Sorry.
They know not what they do.
Yeah, they know. Yeah, thou art have a concussion. Wake us up 3 hours later with no money in a ditch.
Well, go to church. You wake up with no money, too. All right. Ecclesiastes 1:18. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Basically, what we're learning here is you can work at your office. You can work in the field. You can work as a social media influencer. At the end of the day, we're all worm food anyway. So I'm going to chill here and watch videos of kitties and puppies.
lovely, lovely. Davin, we have a minute left. Do you have one more?
I do, Joe. I do. It says, if you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. And this is Proverbs 25:16. So stop being a pig. It's the Lord who sprinkles the chicken at the all-you-can-eat buffet with salmonella. When you're at the porcelain throne exclaiming, oh God, make it stop, it is the Almighty who will be looking down and saying, you should have had a small salad and a glass of water, you Gavone. His teachings will not come to you in audible notes, but instead in spewing chunks.
Really? If that was the case, the Last Supper would be at a Golden Corral.
Well, maybe it was the Last Supper because God had enough of the gathered around. He goes, enough! You guys are eating too much here. That's why it was the Last Supper.
And there you go.
You know what you never hear about the Last Supper? You never hear about the line to the bathroom. I mean, they didn't have refrigeration.
No. No, but the Lord blessed everything, so it was fine.
All right. We will be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
Stop at you. 9:10.
All right.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
And back. You are listening to Davin's Den. We certainly appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Let's do some School of Fools. A lot of these Schools of Fools are funny ones. This is not a funny one. This is actually kind of a complicated issue. It might be above our pay grade, but we're going to tackle it anyway. And it was Joe's blog, so he's going to be the first tackling dummy. But here is the story. All right, I'll tell you guys what's going on here. A Maryland court ruled this week that parents cannot opt their children out of lessons featuring inclusive LGBTQ plus books on religious grounds, stating that families do not have a fundamental right to disrupt public education in the name of their faith. In the lawsuit, Tamir Mahmoud et al. Versus McKnight et al. Filed in May, three families from Montgomery Public Schools sought to reinstate a district policy that would allow them to remove their children from lessons featuring inclusive books because they contradict their sincerely held religious beliefs about marriage, human sexuality, and gender. Judge Deborah Boardman, however, denied the parents' request for a preliminary injunction when the school starts on August 28th, stating that they failed to establish that their due process right to shape their children's education in line with their religious practices was a fundamental right. In her write-up, the Biden appointee, I remember when we didn't have to know who appointed the judge. It was just a judge. But now it's the Biden appointee. Cited several known benefits of inclusive curriculums, including fostering social integration and cultural inclusiveness of transgender and gender nonconforming students, and reducing stigma in the community. The no opt-out policy does not pressure the parents to refrain from teaching their faiths, to engage in conduct that would violate their religious beliefs, or to change their religious beliefs. The policy may pressure them to discuss the topics raised by the storybooks with their children, but those discussions are anticipated, not prohibited by the parents' faiths, Boardman wrote. The parents are not pressured into violating their religious beliefs in order to obtain the benefits of a public education. So this is just one step on the ongoing lawsuit. So this started last fall when the school introduced over 20 inclusivity books for pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. Initially, parents received notice that these books, including Pride Puppy and Uncle Bobby's Wedding.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof, woof. I like a puppy with pride would be in their child's classroom. In March, however, the district issued a statement that it would no longer notify parents on their request to remove the students from these lessons, the organization stated. Multiple religious groups are up in arms: Roman Catholicism, Orthodox Christianity, Muslims. They're opposed. They argue that the lessons mention same-sex relationships, pride parades, and drag queens, and this violated their religious teachings. Parents have a fundamental right to guide the upbringing of the children with complex and sensitive issues, including gender and sexuality. All right. So basically they're upset because they're no longer going to be notified that these books are in the classroom and they can't have their kids removed. This was Joe's blog. What do you got, Joe?
Right. Well, basically when we started this segment, we said, well, there's a lot to unpack here. Both sides do have a point. Now, breaking this down, they're basically saying that it's not appropriate for a child to be exposed to the topic being taught. However, they should only be entitled to this right, the parents, until the child gets to a certain age, and my opinion is 12 years old when they're in the sixth grade. That's when it would be fine to teach this. Now, where I'm getting this is in a guide issued by Planned Parenthood. At 13 to 18, teenagers may express the desire to be more independent, ways to express their identity, initiate sexual activity, a serious relationship, and with that, you know, also questions about the sexuality, bisexuality. When I was in sixth grade, that's when the school, and I'm talking about years ago, but we were brought into the gym. One side was coach explaining sexuality to the boys. The other side was explaining sexualities to the girl. So with that in mind, this is what the kids are thinking at a certain age. You have to go to the parent. Well, I don't want my kids to be part of this. They're in sixth grade now. They're questioning this. It is our obligation as a public, you know, for public health and the benefit of the children, for them to be aware of this. It is our job. That is when you tell the parents that the kids can't opt out. and the, you know, and then have the district tell them it's a public safety issue. It's for the better for the kids. They are thinking this, no matter how you think they're not. But they need to be educated on this so they understand what they're thinking, how they're feeling. As though, like I said, both sides would have a point in this.
I've gone back and forth on this one. Listen, I think I understand the concerns. I don't think inclusivity is a bad thing. It's almost like these religious groups are like, well, we don't want our kids to know that this is going on in the world. I think kids today are a lot more advanced than we were when we were growing up. I think they're a lot more aware of things. You know, listen, they're online all the time, even at this age too. I mean, a lot of parents, myself included, you try to watch, but you know, you give the kid a tablet and away you go. It's in a lot of the cartoons they watch. It's not necessarily right. Trying to convert anybody. It's trying to make them accept. If you really have an issue with this as a parent, there are a couple of remedies. You can homeschool. You could send your kid to a private school. Or, you know, the next time there's elections and there's a school board, you run or you nominate somebody who has the same beliefs as you, and you'll get a lot more conservative school board. I mean, there are remedies to this.
Right. And you might turn around to me and go, well, what, are you just stating your opinion on what age? No, because I did research, and I saw – and where I got my research from was Planned Parenthood. It gave guidelines at each age where children are exposed to sexuality, where they are thinking about sexuality. And at that age, when they're in sixth grade, is when you really need to address it, where they're mature enough, where most of them are thinking about it. And I looked at other studies, and other studies are saying at that age as well. So when I say, well, it should be at 13 years old in sixth grade, that would be the appropriate age. And at that age, it's the school board that tells the parents, sorry, religious objection, this is the public health issue, and it needs to be discussed with the children, and they cannot opt out.
Right, but these kids are already exposed. These kids might have friends or classmates who have two mommies or two daddies. It doesn't sound like these books are about indoctrination. It sounds like these books are like, hey, this is out there and it's okay. Which I understand is against the religious beliefs, but this is not a religious school. It is being paid for with tax dollars. You have every opportunity to send your kid to a private religious university. I understand it's expensive. Like, you know, I went to public school, but I grew up as an Orthodox Jew, and I was the only one Orthodox Jew in my public school, not the only Jew. But when, you know, come the holidays, come Christmas, come Easter, you know, you're doing arts and crafts about, you know, you're making Easter eggs or you're making Christmas trees or you're singing Christmas carols. I mean, they'll throw in you had a little dreidel, but nobody's talking about Passover. But there was never the option to opt out. My parents never sent me with a note saying, little Davin Rosenblatt will not be making a Christmas tree for the holiday presentation. It was, you did it. You're in public school. This is the bargain you've made.
I don't think religion, at least back then, and I'm a little older than you, I don't think religion in regards to the holidays was that big of a lightning rod, but it was made more inclusive.
But hold on, let me stop you here. But I understand what the argument you normally make, but these parents are arguing on religious grounds. That's why I brought that up. Their argument has nothing to do with the kids are not ready to process it. Their argument has to do is this is against our religion, which is why I brought up my example.
Yeah, I get that too. The religious thing, it could be at the religious at level, but you know what? At a certain age, my thing is when they're in sixth grade on a religious level, this is a public health issue now, and it's educating the children. If you want to opt out religion, I'm sorry, we can't do that because we're not teaching, you know, being promiscuous. We're trying to teach the kids, you know, what their feeling, understanding this is, because that is, according to experts, the age appropriate times
but
to discuss that.
The judge didn't rule on that. The judge ruled. The judge's ruling was based on this does not infringe on your religion. That's what the judge ruled on. So that's what I'm speaking to.
Right, Davin. We got about another 50 seconds. How do you think the judge will rule on it?
Well, 50 seconds. We got about another 8 seconds, Joe. I don't know how it's going to go. It's an interesting case, but there are options if you don't want your kid to learn about certain things. It just might cost you a little bit more money or take you cost a little bit more time. All right, when we come back, final segment, COVID's back, and we're going to tell you about it.
This is Davin's Den.
And we're back. Last segment, Davin's Den. Thank you for hanging out with Joe and I. Pip will hopefully be back next week. COVID is back, baby. It's in the headlines. Liberal conspiracy or science? Well, mask requirements are making a comeback in some places as hospitalizations are on the rise. Hollywood studio Lionsgate has implemented a mask mandate on certain floors of a Santa Monica, California. I like how they do the certain floors. Like, people can't go from one floor to another. You're forbidden! Unclean!
Oh. Sorry, you need a mask. You cannot gain entry to that.
Yes. In Atlanta, Morris Brown College announced a two-week mask requirement, as well as a ban on large gatherings. Some hospitals have begun to require face coverings across the country, including in California and New York. In Kentucky, Lee County School District canceled classes Tuesday and Wednesday and shifted to remote learning Thursday and Friday, citing a wave of students and staff members being ill with COVID, strep throat, the flu, and other illnesses. There were nearly 13,000 people nationally hospitalized with COVID-19 last week, a number that has doubled since late June. Per capita, COVID hospitalizations are highest in Delaware, North Carolina, Missouri, Florida, and Hawaii, while Massachusetts, Vermont, Kentucky have seen the largest spikes over the past 2 weeks, according to the New York Times tracker. But numbers are still far below what they once were. For example, this time last year, there were more than 41,000 COVID hospitalizations, and the number of the deaths from the virus last week, 251, was at the lowest point since the pandemic started in March of 2020. So there's new subvariants, including EG5. It's accounted for more than one-fifth of all new COVID-19 cases in the country. There's the subvariant FL151, known as Fornax, that accounts for 13%. So these are mutations, and what they're saying is some of these mutations are going to get around the previous COVID vaccinations. But there's no evidence that these are more serious strains of the virus. Let's see, what else do we have here? So amid a return to masking at the Royal Society of the United Kingdom as well. But another study came out and said less than 2% of deaths reported by Centers of Disease Control and Prevention last week were caused by the coronavirus. So it's about 1.7% of the fatalities nationwide. It's in New York, it's 2.1. It's higher in Maryland and Florida. The primary cause of death is defined as the condition, injury, disease, situation, event that initiated the chain of events resulting in a person's death. All right. So are you surprised that this is coming back?
Yeah and no. I thought we made enough strides where it wouldn't. But the simple fact that it is, I think we're in a different mindset now. As a country, number one, I don't think that do not want to go through this again and will not go through this again due to several factors. Number one, we know masks don't work.
That's not true. That's not true. A study.
No, it actually is. It has been found by experts that the masks have not worked.
Is really not
something that is going to curtail this that much. Now, then number two is a large percentage of the populace have a first and second booster and also had it, which means the immune systems are higher to this, even though there might be a single variant, which means if you do get it, and I know a couple of people have had, I'm not going to, you know, why, there's a couple of people that had, that means the recovery time, the duration is not that bad, and the recovery time is quicker, which puts it in the same frame as the flu or a really bad cold. So are we willing to shut down businesses for something that has the rate of a virus or a cold and not fatal? If you're elderly, if you're susceptible to diseases, then that would be something to review, whether you need another booster shot, whether you should stay home. That is a personal decision. But I don't think – we've learned so much since it all started we're a little bit more educated on this, and we really need to decide if we want to shut our economy down. It depends on how far this goes. We're at the point right now where it's a wait and see. Let's see what happens. You know.
Well, there is a study. I can't find it. I had it here. There is a study that even that the regular mask and the social distancing did reduce the spread of COVID-19. These new variants might not be affected by the boosters. There's a new booster coming out in late September where they're encouraging people to get the booster. Yes, a lot of us have already been exposed. I don't know how that exposure is going to affect this one. It does not seem to be more serious. It seems to be essentially like a flu. Not before, like when we were going through in 2020, 2021, they called it the flu and it wasn't the flu. It now seems like these symptoms are more flu-like, where there's a couple of days where you're really in bad shape, but it doesn't seem to be as life-threatening to the vast majority.
So is it worth, you know, the argument is it worth shutting everything?
Well, we're not talking about shutting down right now. We're talking about masking.
But, you know, and everybody's
wearing. So what's gonna happen if the supermarket starts, it's not out of the realm of possibility, supermarket starts saying you have to wear masks again? What's going to happen?
I got to eat. I got to go eat. You know, I'm not.
I think there's going to be, you know, we saw crazy people before, you know, attacking people, you know, workers just trying to enforce these things put down by the state. I think if they try to enforce it now, people are going to lose their mind more so. I think.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a rebellion. Now, I've got another thing to add. Well, should you get a vaccine? Should you get a shot? Here's something. Who's paying for it? He stopped as of, I think, 6 months ago when he said that the virus is, or COVID is pretty much over. He stopped, the government stopped funding vaccines. Do you think the government is going to start funding the vaccine?
I think you could still get free boosters.
I think he stopped.
Well, listen, but I mean, they're going to have to pay for that. Because they can't, or insurance is going to have to cover it. I mean, because nobody's got, a lot of people won't, only the most sick people will get it if it's not free. They're going to have to make that free. So let's say it's free and late September comes, I'll probably go back to CVS and get a booster. Would you?
Probably around November. I'll tell you right now, we had this discussion last year. Well, you're not for the vaccine. You're not the vaccine. I need to make money. I am a sole support of my home. I own a home. I got to pay the bills. And when I do my Santa Claus shows, I have a copy of that I've been vaccinated, revaccinated, because I don't want to show up with a home. I'm supposed to do a 3-hour show, and then I have people going, well, you know, I need to see you have proof of vaccination, and I can show it. I don't want to be the client. I actually have a show. I'm doing a weekend. I'm going to be riding on a train. All day long, I'll be riding back on a train.
Oh, why would you take one of those awful gigs? That sounds terrible.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, you know, if this thing gets serious, you know, the booker might go, well, do you have your vaccine?
Get serious. You're already infected. To agree to do that type of gig, you're stuck with the audience all day. What is wrong with you? That sounds worse than COVID.
I get break. They give me some break. You know, I get
give you a break. Are they going to airlift you onto another train?
No, just one train.
You're performing in the subway, aren't you? You're selling pencils and telling jokes. That's what this is.
No. I will be on it. Now, with that in mind, I mean, that's going to be a good payday. I don't need the booker or the person running that going, well, if you don't have a current vaccine, you can't perform. I'm out a lot of money. So for that simple fact, I will see where it is. And if I deem in November that maybe it's best to have the booster, I'll go get a booster. The other part of the equation is who's picking up the tab. You know, if I've got to lay out money, maybe I'm going to roll the dice and see what happens. So there's a lot of variables. October, November, different conversation.
I got to tell you, if at this point I feel like I got the flu, I don't want the COVID test. I got some gigs I don't want to miss. I know that's the completely wrong thing to say, but I got to open up this new comedy club next week. I got the Bahamas in December. I can't be missing gigs with COVID. So I think it might be time to, like, maybe have to break out the Purell again, maybe keep a little further away. Might have to start doing that again.
Yeah, well, it's self-preservation. You know, you see how it goes. Like I said, I know a couple of people that wound up getting COVID. I think we know somebody personally that got it.
You mean Pip?
Involved with the show.
Pip?
Yeah, Pip got it, you know. So it is going wrong. Nobody's got it. No, people have it. With all we've learned and with all the vaccines we've had and how we're handling it, the severity is going to be the key issue of how far we're going to go with it.
Yeah, I think it would have to be almost a calamity for them to do lockdowns again. I don't think we're going to do lockdowns. I could see mask mandates. I could even see possibly homeschooling again, the remote learning. But that there's really going to have to be a big outbreak for that because that caused a lot of kids a lot of problems. So
right, Devin, we got 30 seconds left. Is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, Joe, I know the time. Thank you. I'll plug some stuff. Geez, Joe's like a nag tonight. What do you want to plug, Joe?
You with a pipe. I'm going to do my job here. I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club with the hysterical Adam Ferrara. I am going down there September 15th and 16th. It's going to be 8 o'clock shows. Go to 1-877-UNCLE-VIN or go to Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club for tickets and information. It's going to be a great weekend. Join us.
September 9th and 10th, I'll be in Niles, Michigan at the Underground Laugh Lounge. For tickets, go to undergroundlounge.com. Opening weekend, both shows Friday already sold out. Monday, September 11th, I'll be in Elkhart, Indiana at the Five Star Dive Bar. For tickets, go to fivestardivebar.info. All right, that's it for us. Hopefully, Pip back next week. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening. All right. We would like to thank Sensei Ferdico for his continued support and also being a character witness for my daughter on her first application for a job.
That's wonderful.
It most certainly is. Get a job, young woman. Get a job.
Good for her, and thanks, Rush. Portobello, Bergen County, New Jersey, most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. Now, the Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail. And the Portobello chefs, they're happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello, open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to the dinner menu, which is available all day. And Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets, that's your destination for that special event. Sweet 16, wedding, office party, anything that has to impress, their professional staff will ensure that that event will not be just an occasion, but will be a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by Side Spinning Productions owner Davin, my pal of Davin's Den. We've got a great show coming up on October 13th. You're going to have Keith Purnell, Ryan Maher, and Tori Seward. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the three headliner show. This is a must-see. Please go. You're going to have a fantastic night. Experience all the Portobello has to offer. 175 Ramapo Valley Road, Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more. Give them a call, 201-337-8990. That's 201-337-8990. Or visit their website, portobellonj.com. You deserve the best. You deserve a great night out. You deserve Portobello.
Side Spinning Productions, producing that show and many other comedy shows. You're going to want to hire us, me, them. Go to sidesplittingproductions.com, 551-404-3094. Any other gigs coming up, Joe?
That's it.
All right. Well, I got more stuff coming up. Friday, September 8th, Side Splitting Productions presents a live comedy at Il Palazzo in Waunakee, New Jersey, starring Touré, Rick Allen, and Larry DiGregorio. For tickets, call 973-839-9696. I will be in Michigan that night, but my wife will be there. Can hang out with her. Wednesday, September 13th, Side Splitting Productions presents a live comedy in Monroe, New York, at Scalia and Company, starring Johnny Watson, Michael Gregg, and Patrick Holbert. For tickets, call 845-395-0906. And Thursday, September 14th, Side Spreading Productions presents live comedy at Aqua Viva in Hammerburg, New Jersey, starring me, Bill Chang, and Gina D. For tickets, call 973-590-2769. First show we did there was sold out, and I was in the – I was getting a procedure done that night. I was getting myself a procedure. So, fingers crossed, I'm actually going to make it to this gig. That's what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed. All right. Well, Joe, it has been fun.
Yes.
We will call it an early night.
Fun. We missed Pip, but no, it was great. We great topics, great talk. Had a great time, pal.
Yes, sir. All right, get some rest and do the clips before the weekend. All right.
Yeah.
If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one. Shush.
Either way, please keep on listening.